Now, I want you to know that Brother Al Ray picked that music before we got to this weekend, okay? I know some of y'all were singing Give Us Clean Hands with a smile, and it's not because you were happy in the Lord, all right? That was picked well before we got to the end of this week. And I had a lot of fun pointing it out to Al Ray, I guarantee you. So, anyway, we don't want to make light of it, yet at the same time, it's all right to. Sometimes we need a little levity in a situation. We need to just relax a little bit. And if you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. As I was getting ready, I was looking forward to preaching a message that I intended to preach last week. Unfortunately, I was quarantined last week with the flu, and just trying to be extra precautious even with that. And I was really looking forward to preaching and sharing with you what the Lord laid on my heart. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do that, and I appreciate Brother Jonathan stepping in and preaching, and I know y'all had a great time in the Lord. And then excited this week, thinking, okay, yes, I get to preach this message and working on it and fine-tuning, getting ready. And this week, from the time we printed the bulletin to time this morning, the Lord changed my heart. Gave me a different direction to go, and I want to look at this passage. And so that's why you don't have any notes this morning, and just going to just take the text and walk through this and just share some things with you. I intend not to preach quite as long as what I normally do because I want to give the last portion of our service for us to pray over some specific things that Dr. Ronnie Floyd has laid out for us. So 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, and if you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? I thank God, whom I serve, with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Louise and her mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, your word is holy and perfect. And I pray this morning as we look into your word, we study your word together, God, you'd speak to our heart. God, minister to us. You be glorified. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. And we pray and ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Well, as we dig into the Word this morning, really there's not a this nifty outline that I have for you this morning, but rather just want to take the Word of God and just share with you some thoughts, some things that my heart has been heavy for the last couple days. And I realize, probably by evidence of you being here this morning, those that are able to be here, you may not be in a state of panic. You're not overly fearful or any of that kind of thing. And again, I want to be careful here because I don't want to make light of this. There really is a pandemic that is facing our nation and facing the world. And although it's just beginning here, unless the Lord intervenes, it'll be a serious situation. But we're going to pray that God will bring the peak of the crisis sooner rather than later. But the reality is, in a difficult day and time, in a day and time like this, what do we do? How do we handle these situations? How do we go about our everyday lives and not be struck with fear? We live in a day and time where more people struggle from anxiety than ever before. And it's real. It's a real struggle. And I realize some of you grew up in a day and time where in a lot of ways it was much more difficult than the luxuries of life that we have today. Nonetheless, there are a lot of folks among us for various reasons and various purposes, some of them tied to the COVID-19 that we're facing, and some of it not. Some of us have experienced tragedy after tragedy and living on life's edge, just wondering what's going to break loose next and struggling with anxiety. Our world is gripped with young people and teenagers and college students and young adults and middle-aged adults and all sorts of people who are gripped with anxiety of the unknown. And it impacts their everyday life. So how do we deal with those things? How do we process some of this? How do we face these fears and anxieties? Well, I want to just take the next few moments together and I want to look at this passage together. Paul is writing to a young minister. He's writing to Timothy, young man in the ministry that he seemingly won to the Lord. And so there's a lot of rich wisdom here that Paul's just trying to pour into this young man. And verse 3, we see he says, "I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day." So Paul begins this letter early on in saying, "Hey, I'm serving the Lord, but as I'm doing that, I'm thanking God for you. I'm thanking God for what you're doing and how you're serving and ministering." And by the way, we need to be some encouragers during this day and time. Listen, there's a lot of people making a lot of hard decisions right now. Good gracious, I wouldn't want to be a superintendent of a school right now. Or in public office. Because if you make a decision, you've got a group of folks that are mad. You make another decision, you've got a different group of folks that are mad. Some of it, I want to tell you, yes, that is part of leadership. But man, with social media and access to all this information, everybody's an expert. And they've got it figured out and they know how to handle it. But Paul says, listen, you're a young man in the faith. I pray for you. I encourage you. And I want to say thank you to those who have been praying for me as your pastor and our staff. The decisions and things that we try to seek the Lord, we try to be obedient. Got down on my knees last night as we were thinking last minute, okay, are we going to go ahead with this? And I just cried out for James 1 and said, "God, as your word says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth freely and abradeth not." God, I need your wisdom. And as a staff and as leaders, that's what we've been praying. God, give us wisdom. So I thank you for those that pray for us, pray for our leaders, that God would be glorified. And so he says, night and day, I pray for you. Verse 4, "greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy." There was such an affection between these two. They wanted to be together. They wanted to spend time around one another. Paul wanted to invest in them. And let me say, some of you have served faithfully and worked, and in some ways you feel like, I don't know how many years I have left. I want to encourage you, man, God is the author of that. God knows our beginning date and our end date, but you need to invest what you do have into a younger generation. And younger generation, we need to be looking for folks that'll invest in us. Encourage us. Share the wisdom that they have. Verse 5. "When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also." Boy, did anybody have a rich heritage of faith like that? That you had some parents and some grandparents that, man, they lived out the faith before you. Anybody like that this morning? There's a few of you. Man, thank God for that. Amen? Not everybody's got that. Not everybody's had that example. That's not an excuse for them. I'm just saying that's a cause for you to celebrate. Go, man, thank you, Jesus, for that heritage, that example which was before me. Then verse 6, "therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God. If you mark or underline your Bible, mark or underline that. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. That stir up, it's an idea of fanning the flame. What's Paul telling him? Paul's telling this young man, saying, hey, God has gifted you in some ways. He's gifted you for service. He's gifted you accordingly that he can call you and use you for his purpose and his plan. And Paul says it needs to be stirred up. It needs to be rekindled. That sometimes through the struggles of life and ministry and serving and being obedient, that we just get beat down and we get wore down and we forget the gifting God has called us to. We forget the calling that God has given us. And he's saying that needs to be stirred up. It needs to be fanned. And church, I need to remind you and encourage you. Yes, we do live in difficult days and difficult times. And by the way, if you've read the rest of the book, you realize there's going to come a day and time where it's going to get worse. But church, this is the time for the church to stand up, to rise up, to be obedient to the Lord. We're going to have opportunities for ministry like we've never seen before. And we need some folks to get stirred up. Some of you are gifted in ways that I am not, that the person next to you is not. And we got to come alongside one another, be the body of Christ for the glory of God, and use it for His kingdom. He says, stir up. It needs to be stirred up. It needs to be fanned. Some of you need to be stirred up this morning. Hallelujah. I'll just do it from a distance, okay? Well, he said it needs to be stirred up. He says, you've been given a gift. And that is true of every single believer in our church and every single believer for all time, that you are gifted in ways for the kingdom of God. And then verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Verse 6, he says, God's given you a gift that needs to be stirred up. And then he begins with the negative, telling him what that gift is not. That gift is not a spirit of fear. It's the maybe a better translation is timidness. He's not given us a spirit of being timid. It's difficult. It's hard. You get on social media very long, and you read all the articles and all the posts, you start buying in, because we know everything on the internet's true. You start reading all that. Good gracious. There's reason to be afraid. Everything's a political agenda. Everything's the next major crisis. And so on and so forth. But dear church family, I need to encourage you this morning. God has not given you a spirit of fear. I know some of you are facing cancer. That's easy for me to say. Preacher, you haven't been through the operations, you haven't been through the testing, you haven't been through the chemo and those things. I understand. I don't say it lightheartedly. But can I just encourage you from the scripture this morning? God has not given you a spirit of fear. Well, preacher, you haven't been through the tragedies that I have, the life experiences that I have, the death that I have. I know it. But God's not given you a spirit of fear. See, that's what the enemy wants to do. The enemy, if he knows, remember Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And the reality is that the enemy, if he can't kill you, destroy your soul, destroy your eternity, or you spend eternity in hell, you become a believer, then you get captivated by, if he can captivate you by fear, what happens? Paralysis happens. We get eat up with fear, we lock up, we seize up. And we're just so captivated by it. That's all we can think about. That's all we can study. It's all we can know is just this fear. Even for the non-believer, because Hebrews tells us that Jesus set us free who were all their lifetime subject to bondage through fear of death. Hallelujah. Jesus set me free from that. Because even if I die, I'm going to go home and be with Jesus. Now understand, I'm not looking to rush this thing, okay? When I first moved to Memphis, I had some conversations with Brother Ronnie and Brother Ronnie because 361 South Orleans, the inner city outreach center, was on the backside of Claiborne Homes Housing Project, the back drive. One of the toughest projects in the entire nation. Then we started, if that wasn't enough, we started a ministry down off Florida, Kansas and Florida. And the year we started it, a study came out, and it was the third deadliest neighborhood in the entire nation. Hallelujah. But I moved there and began to work in the ministry and serve alongside. And it didn't take me long, outright, to figure out I wasn't in Ratcliffe no more. And about our first big ministry, it was about this time of year, on Easter weekend, we decided we were going to do a kind of effectively a one day, Jonathan, a one day sort of event during the weekend of Easter. And there was a blitz all over the city to do evangelism. And so we took folks out there that weekend. And so we had different teams, and I was responsible to lead a team, and we were going through the hood, and visiting with folks and sharing the gospel, that kind of thing. And we had all kinds of folks out with us who had never been out on the streets before, okay? And so we enlisted some guys to help, and sure enough, while we're out, we're there in the parking lot. There's housing project, the apartment buildings on either side. There's a big parking lot, and there's always some broken down cars out there, and there's always a guy working on one or two or whatever. And man, we're out there, and the group's there witnessing, and I'm going around the corner getting ready, and I look, and there's about 25 guys from 18 to 30 that are running in our direction. Now, I ain't gonna lie to you, I froze for a minute, because I thought, I don't know if they're running from something or to something. I ain't real sure which way to go. Well, come to find out, they're running to something because there was an old boy in the community there that had at least seemingly broke into another guy's mama's house. And the guy, I don't know his real name, although I did work out with him one time. His name was Sleepy, right after he got out of the penitentiary. And he hadn't been out very long. And here he came across the parking lot with a pistol, headed to that guy's front door and was going to kill him right there. Well, thank the Lord that Brother Ronnie Johnson was there, and he intervened and kept him from killing that guy that day. And it was a lot of chaos, as you could imagine, just in a matter of a few moments. We had a lot of folks from Bellevue that I don't think ever came back to go out on the streets with us. But I had talked to Adrian about, kind of what happened, and that's when she informed me I didn't have to tell her everything that happened out on the streets. But if I'm honest, I got home and I thought, God in heaven, what am I doing in Memphis, Tennessee? I grew up in Ratcliffe, Arkansas with 187 people and 8 dogs. And the Lord brought this verse to mind. And that weekend, I memorized it. So he reminded me, God had not given me a spirit of fear. And so we don't go to those places, we don't do those things. And by the way, that's the only time that's ever happened, okay? I know in a month or so, I'm going to ask you to go to Memphis with me in July. And you're like, I remember that story, preacher. But God's not given us a spirit of fear. We don't go to those places because we think we're bad or we're tough. We're just fully convinced that God's not given us a spirit of fear. And He knows the beginning date and He knows the end date of our life. And the reality is this, is that when God gets ready for me to come home, there's not a doctor in the world that can keep me here 1 second longer than when God gets ready for me. On the other hand, the baddest man in the world can't take me home 1 minute until God gets ready for me. So you need to know this. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That's the negative, then the positive. Notice the text. But of power. In the Greek, this is dunamis. This is where we get the word dynamite. But you don't need to think about it in terms of that as an internal force having a bigger impact. But rather, the meaning of this, there's an external force that is having an impact. So what is that? Well, how does that play into my life? This is the picture. There's not something deep down inside of you that's having the impact, but rather there's a divine force on your life that is having an impact. That's where the power comes from. It's not from you conjuring something up, from you working up some sort of bravery or any of that sort of thing. But rather, he said, God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but he's giving you a power. That is, the Holy Spirit is on your life, empowering you to do what you can't do on your own. And so God's not giving us a spirit of fear, but of power. And of love. This is agape. This is the love that comes only from the Lord. And so as God's not giving you this spirit of fear, but He's giving you this love. I don't want anybody to run away. I'm going to take this drink, okay? But He's given you love so you can serve Him. You can minister to one another. You can be used of the Lord. So God's not giving me this spirit of fear, but He's given me power and He's given me love. And then last phrase, of a sound mind. I hear you. You're thinking, preacher, you did pretty well. You got 2 out of 3 of those. You're missing one. And my wife would probably agree. But no, the of a sound mind is not, probably a better translation is self-discipline. You may write that in the margin of your Bible, self-discipline. So he's not giving you this spirit of fear, but he's giving you power, he's giving you love, giving you sound mind. And so just think about or play this out then. So God's not giving me this spirit where I'm fearful. But He's given me an ability that's beyond myself. He's helping me to love folks even when I don't love folks. It's contrary to my flesh. Because it's agape, it's the God love. It's love without condition. Love without strings attached. But then he's given me self-discipline. And I think this is equally as important as every part of this, because let's just take the situation that we face now. God has not given me a spirit of fear where I'm walking around terrified that I may become infected and it just consumes my life, all of that kind of thing. But he's given me power, he's given me love, he's given me self-discipline. And so I think even applying this to our time and space that we have right now, within that, he's given me wisdom. That, you know what, I'm not terrified that if I go to this place or go to that place or do this thing or do that thing, that I'm going to catch this. But rather, I'm going to exercise self-discipline for the betterment of my community. And again, I'm not trying to make any sort of political statement. I'm not trying to convince you of anything of how you need to go about your life. I'm just telling you from the Scripture that Paul's saying, stir up this gift that you have. It's not fear, but it's power, love, and it's self-discipline. It's a sound mind. And so even your gifts, even in the way that the Lord has blessed you, we need to use that with self-discipline. So that means we've got to use wisdom. God, you want me to use this gifting I have? Whatever it may be. I've got to use some self-discipline with that. It may mean that I have to say no to some things. I may have to go about it a little bit differently. How is it that God wants you to use self-discipline? One of the things that, for me, I don't get an inordinate amount of requests to speak by any means, but it's one of my passions. It's one of the things that I believe is one of my giftings, one of my callings. But when I'm asked to go speak somewhere, it's one of those things I want to pray through, that is this being wise with my time and energy and effort? Is this what the Lord has for me? You need to pray through those things with your giftings, the way God has enabled you and blessed you, but then just simply in everyday life. God, I'm not consumed with fear. I lay this at your feet. I trust you. Yet at the same time, how is it I can be a good neighbor? How is it I can love my community well? How is it I can love our church well? And so real practically, here's one of those ways that we want to offer to our church family and those in our community. It's just a way to practice self-discipline. Some of our shut-ins, some of our elderly who, quite honestly, maybe at this time, being out is not the best choice for them. Yet we still realize that there's still some essentials. There's some things that you may need. You may need prescription. You may need groceries. Those sorts of things. So here's what, as a church family, we want to do, is we want to serve those in our church family and even in our community as a shut-in or an elder or somebody. Reality is there's maybe some of us in this room at some point. I hope it doesn't happen. We have to be quarantined. And so as your church family, we want to come alongside you and help you in that. So here's how that'll happen. We are... first going to work, and if any of you would like to help with this, help shop for somebody, Pastor Jonathan's going to begin getting a list together of folks who can help with that. And then if you have a need, you're going to be able to call the church office and request, hey, I need somebody, whatever the groceries are, prescriptions or whatever it may be, we're going to try to help serve our church family in this way. And so if you would like to help be a part of that and can do that, then you need to get with Pastor Jonathan. You can do that after the service, or you can do that by calling him or calling the office tomorrow. We're just trying to figure out how can we serve. And in part of this, it's saying, hey, we're exercising some self-discipline. We're going to try to be cautious and loving on our community. It may come to a point where if our schools have to shut down or close, that we may need to offer food or be a food distribution or pack lunch boxes or something to that effect. I really believe in the coming days, we're going to have some different ways to minister to our community in ways that we've never seen or experienced before. But dear church family, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but He has given us power and love and self-discipline. It's one of those fruits of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. And so even during this time, let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray, God, give us clarity. Help us to exercise self-discipline, self-control. And you know what's interesting about that? Self-discipline, self-control, that's always, when you exercise that, it's always doing things that you really don't want to do. Otherwise, it's not self-discipline. It's not self-control. That's easy, doing the things you want to do. What's difficult is not doing those things you don't want to do or having to do things that you really don't want to do. And so it's a different day and time. And Lord willing, it won't last for a long season, but we are in a different season. And I just felt led of the Lord, one, take a moment and say, hey, God's not given us a spirit of fear. But then, just by way of closing, know this. There may be some here or even some listening online that are consumed with fear. And it may be because you have never trusted the Lord Jesus for salvation. And my persuading this morning is, won't you be saved? Don't be subject all your lifetime to the bondage through fear of death. You don't have to fear death because of the work that Jesus has done on our behalf. You can simply repent and believe on Jesus and be saved right where you're at this morning. And so here in just a moment, we're going to have just a brief time where we pause. We spend time in prayer. For some of you, there's cards in the pew backs about kind of our visitor card. If you're a visitor, you can fill that out. But also, there's some decision marks there. If you decide this morning, I need to follow Jesus, then you can mark that. You can say, hey, I've decided to follow Jesus. You can leave some information there, say, hey, I'd love to talk more about it. There's even an opportunity to leave us a prayer request saying, hey, would you pray over this? We're just going to spend a few moments and we're going to respond to this time and then we're going to move into a time of prayer. But before we do that, I want us just to have a time where we reflect on what the Lord has spoke to our heart this morning. Okay? All right, bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, you're gracious and kind and merciful. And I pray this morning that God, you would help us to be obedient to you. You would speak to us. God, help us to respond. God, I pray if there's any lost here that don't know you, God, you would save them. And you just remain in attitude of prayer. The altar's certainly open. If you want to come and kneel, you're welcome to do that. You need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. Ask God to help you not have a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. If you're not sure about your salvation, confess your sins to Him. Repent, that is to turn from them. Ask Jesus, surrender your life to Him, to ask Him to be the boss. Master of your life. Lord, you are gracious and kind, and we thank you, God, for your word. Thank you that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And God, I pray that you would move and work and minister to us. Thank you, God, for how you're gracious and loving. God, you be glorified. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's what I want to do. We're going to move into a time of prayer in just a moment, but I do want to say, if you prayed and asked the Lord to save you and you surrendered your heart and life to Jesus, we want to know about that. Fill that out on that card. Leave it in the offering plate as you go exit out today. My email is there in the bulletin. You can email me. I'll also be around after service. You can come, and I'd love to talk to you about it. Just to follow up with that decision. I do think it's important to make that decision known, make it public. And so do that. So here's how we're going to spend the remainder of our time together. We have four specific areas that we're going to pray over. And again, these are just as directed by some of our leadership and just want to join others in praying through these things. So here's what I'll ask you to do. We're not going to get up and move around, all that kind of thing like we've did a couple weeks ago. If there's some folks that are there close to you that you can pray with without moving, I encourage you to do that. A couple of you just kind of there praying together. If not, that's okay. You pray through these on your own. But here's what I want to ask you to do first. Isaiah 59:1-2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But our iniquities have separated us from us, from God, and your sins have hidden his face from me that he will not hear." So this, Isaiah 59:1-2, God doesn't lack the ability. And so first thing we want to pray for is ask God to stop this pandemic and to save lives. Ask him not only in our communities but around the world, especially those that are not as equipped medically as what we have the privilege of here. In this, pray for local hospitals, clinics, medical personnel, so many that work so closely in these environments that is incredibly difficult. Just pray that our medical facilities would not become overwhelmed as much of the world has. So right there where you're at, either with somebody next to you, one of y'all lead in praying that, or if you're there just by yourself, you just spend a moment praying about this, and then we'll move on to the next thing, okay? All right, so you take a moment and pray. Praying that it doesn't spread, praying it saves lives, praying for the medical community. Amen. Romans 13:1 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authorities? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good, but if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. And so the next thing we want to pray for our president and other government leaders, international, federal, state, and local. Pray that God would give them wisdom and direction just for the best cause of action to help prevent the spread of this. So pray for our leaders. Pray for our president, international, national, state, and local. Amen. Psalm 90, verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days carefully so that we may develop wisdom in our hearts." So I want to pray twofold. First, for believers, that we would number our days to use every day that God has for us for His kingdom, for His glory, even in these difficult days. And then secondly, pray that around the world, that God would use this to help people think about eternity and where their soul's going to spend eternity, that many may come to faith in Christ. So as believers, we want to number our days and use them for His glory, use them wisely for His kingdom. And then for those who don't know Christ, we're praying that God would use even this difficult situation to bring many to faith in Himself, okay? All right, so somebody lead him in praying for those. Amen. Well, Mark 16:15 says, "Preach the gospel to every creature." And the last thing we want to kind of gather and pray over is ask God to protect our missionaries and our families around the globe, using this global crisis to advance His good news to the whole world. So we want to pray for missionaries and their families all over the world that are sharing the gospel all over. Okay, so somebody lead in praying for those. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. God, you be glorified. And God, help us to be obedient to you. And Lord, you use the prayers of believers all over this nation today, unifying together, being a house of prayer for all nations. And we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.